share some thoughts with you. Again, God deals with us strangely. I was thinking that I was going to be preaching something else, but you have to go with God. And so you all pray that I can at least get some thoughts together here as we look at this passage. Would you find Psalm 32? I'm not going to read it at the beginning. I'll read it as we work our way through it. And so let's just ask God's blessing on this time as we look at the Word. Father, we confess that we need help now. We need help to see with the eyes of our heart what you're saying in the Scriptures, to understand the meaning of what you're saying in the Scriptures. To apply the Scriptures to our own lives. And then, Lord, we need grace to obey. And so, Father, I just say again, we need help now. This poor lump of clay needs much grace. And so, Lord, would you go beyond me to do your will, to do it your way. I confess that the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So even now, Lord, if you want me to preach something different, I'm here willing to say whatever you want said. And I'm praying for your people that we can all say, speak, Lord. Whatever you've got to say to us, speak, Lord, your people listen. And we're ready and willing to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Our subject for today is the blessing of confession and forgiveness. The blessing of confession and forgiveness. Now, last week we learned that even our undisciplined habits can distract us from fixing our eyes on Jesus. Any and every undisciplined area in our lives is a distraction when it comes to holiness and seeing Jesus clearly. Not with your physical eye, with the eye of your heart. See, because those undisciplined things in your heart then distract from your heart being fully open to Christ. So any sin, any habit keeps us back. It distracts us from running the race that God has given to you and to run it. He's given it to you to run it with joy. But these undisciplined habits and sins keep us back. All of humanity, since Adam and Eve, attempts to hide and cover sin. Everybody. Whether you're American, European, African, Asian, it doesn't matter what continent you live on. All of humanity attempts to hide and cover their sin. People also will try to trivialize their sin. So they like to create different words. That's the reason you don't hear many people talk about fornicating. You don't want to use that word, so let's use a more pleasant word. Or we find ways to try to ignore our sin. And eventually you find people just reaching the point to where they'll simply justify. They'll justify doing wrong. Even when they know they're wrong, that's Romans 1. But sin always, always, always brings misery. Absolutely, positively, most definitely and assuredly, undeniably, sin always brings misery. The other thing that I've been thinking about is that sin can never bring true happiness. You think about it. Can't do it. Now, I'm not talking about fleeting temporary pleasure. I'm talking about true happiness. Sin is not the bearer of true joy and happiness. As a matter of fact, now I'm telling you, I don't have it all together this morning, but I'm just thinking with you. As a matter of fact, when you go to the Garden of Eden, sin was an intruder. Right? God made things well. It was all good. That's the case of where you really can say, it's all good. But the intruder came into God's good creation. Did it make things better? Can't do it. You can't improve upon God's goodness. So sin cannot bring true joy and happiness. It's impossible. This psalm talks about the blessing of confessing sin and the misery of not confessing. The blessing of confessing sin and the misery of hanging on to it. The blessing of confessing sin and the misery of trying to hide it. The blessing of confessing and the misery of trying to justify it. So let's look at it together, all right, for the next few minutes. And we'll just kind of plod our way through it and see if God will help us to get our thinking around what he's saying. David, the man after God's own heart, here starts. I believe that he begins by wanting us to see the blessing of being forgiven. The blessing of forgiveness from God. And I want to awaken your hearts now. I don't know how many of us we've been saved so long that we need to be reminded of these great blessings. So I'm telling you up front, I'm attempting to stir up your sanctified heart so that you'll become truly grateful this morning that you're forgiven. Sin must be forgiven and atoned for. I see that in verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed, happy, true, deep, eternal happiness is to the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We're all guilty. Amen? Amen? For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All have broken God's law. All have transgressed. Amen? Amen? All have done what we should not have done. And all have not done many things that we should have done. So we either went too far or we fell too short. All have sinned. And everyone in here can say amen. Guilty. That's why we all need both grace and blood. We need both grace and a sacrifice to pay the price for my sin. There's no way to live good enough to pay for the stuff I've done. And you need to get honest. If you've not gotten real about this, come on. How in the world could you ever live good enough to pay for the sin, the wrong, the transgression, the iniquity that you've committed in your life? We all need grace and a sacrifice that God would be pleased with to pay for our sin. Because Jesus died for our sin, God forgives us by grace. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is the sacrifice who paid the price, and so God, by grace, says, I'm going to apply his death to your life, forgiven. This is staggering. I sin, Jesus died, I get forgiven. This is amazing. That's the reason Newton said it's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved what? Rich. Come on now. We've been saved so long, you got to remember what you were saved from. That's what creates the joy. You see, that's the reason you know you're blessed. It's good to remember where you came from in this regard. You are blessed if you know that you are forgiven. So for all of you who think, I've got no reason for joy, I'm telling you, here's your reason. If you are a Christian, you are happy if you know you've been forgiven. It takes somebody like Spurgeon. I think this is the way he said it. If you have felt the bitterness and the sting of sin, then you really know the joy and happiness of forgiveness. That's it. If you can remember, don't you remember how bitter a pill that was when you wake up on that Sunday morning? All of the mess. We were like slop monsters. All Saturday night thinking we cool. Everywhere we go, we're leaving slop and stink. And then you get over here and God saved you and you look back on that trail. Come on. If you felt the bitterness and the stench and the sting of sin, then you know the happiness of being forgiven. But then I notice, if you're going to continue to think with me about the blessing of forgiveness, that sin is not held against us. Blessed is the man, verse 2, against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. God takes our sin out of the way. You see, I said it's good to remember where you came from. You don't need to sit and dwell on all those individual sins. Right? You know, that's a trick of the devil. He wants to keep you tracing all of these details. God has taken that out of the way. He just doesn't want you to forget where he brought you from. He's taken that out of the way so you can have real fellowship with him. It won't be held against you on the day of judgment. Not only did he take all of that ugly, stinky, vulgar stuff out of the way, but into that empty life he placed righteousness. You're not going to have to stand before God naked. You have the righteousness of Christ. Come on. What did you do to get it? By grace you have been saved. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God, lest any man say. But there you are standing, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God took your sin out of the way so that you can now enjoy him. This is staggering. When you know that at the judgment seat of Christ you'll find grace and mercy, then you know the happiness of forgiveness.
That's what I'm trying to stir up in every heart here that's saved. A day is coming. The Bible calls it an awful day for those outside of Christ. But if you're in Him, you can be happy now, because that won't be a day of misery for you. It'll be a day of joy.
But now, the psalmist doesn't stop there. All right? I'm stirring up our saved hearts to be thankful and happy that you're saved. But now look at what the psalmist goes on to say. There's misery even in the saint's heart with unaddressed sin. Now don't start falling out on me now. You were thrilled and glad to travel along with me when we were talking about being forgiven. But here we're talking about things that are happening along the Christian journey. There's misery in the saint's life when you don't address your sin. Unconfessed, unaddressed sin. Now look at how David, and you know this is the man who understands this issue, right? Having committed adultery and murder and tried to hide it and cover it up for months. Just like us. Amen. Try to get it out of your mind until God puts you in a corner and you realize, I got to deal with this. And then, come on, be honest with me. I'm just being honest with you about myself. There are times when God has cornered me and I finally address it and you wonder, what took me so long? Right? Why did I delay dealing with this so long? The first thing I notice is that for this Christian, if you will not address your sin, you're going to have physical misery. Sin affects your body. This is not just Old Testament teaching. All right, let's look at it. Verse 3, for when I kept silent, you know what he's talking about there, right? When I would not confess, when I would not address my sin, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Where is the pain coming from? God, your hand was heavy upon me. God deals with His children when they won't address their own sin. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Look at verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked. Now see, my brother, my sister, you're living like a foolish person if you want to address your sin. I didn't call you a fool, but you're living like a foolish person. You know better than that. Amen, Christian. You know better than trying to cuddle and hide and minimize yourself. You know better than that. That's the reason God deals with us the way He does. We know better. So it's time for us to stop making these excuses. We don't need anybody to tell us you need to address your sin. You know better. But God sent me to remind you today. Because we do need reminding. I'm not telling you something you don't know though, right? This is the way He said it in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 11:28. Let a person examine himself. Then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged by God. That's the point. If you judge yourself, if you deal with your own sin, then God wouldn't have to deal with you the way He is. God wouldn't have to make you weak. God wouldn't have to make you sick. See, people, you got all these ministries today that are attributing all problems to people from the devil. I'm telling you that God brings some heat. And so it does you no good to run around talking about, I bind you, devil, I bind you, Satan. And now this is the craziest thing. I know y'all have heard me say this before, but this is really, John MacArthur put it, he just made it crystal clear for me. He says, now folks, your children won't obey you. How in the world you think the devil's going to obey you? Running around telling the devil what you do. You know, I bind you, I kicked you out of my house. That's foolishness. Deal with your own sin. Stop playing Flip Wilson. It's not the devil's fault. Be responsible for your own sin. That's what we've got to do. Stop blaming your spouse. Stop blaming your children. Stop blaming the job. Stop blaming the school children. Stop blaming the neighbors. Be responsible for your own sin. Your own anger. Your own bitterness. Your own envy. Amen. Now we're just talking. I told you I had a late night and so it ain't polished up. All right? Sin brings physical weakness even to the Christian if the Christian will not repent and confess it. It is the action of God. It's the judgment of God upon His child when you won't take action yourself. When you won't judge your own sin, then your Father in heaven says, I'll judge it for you. Amen. Some of us here at New Hope are weak. Some are sick. Some may have even died because they were too stubborn to address their sin. Too stubborn to repent. Too stubborn to confess. Look at verse 9. This is what the psalmist says. Be not like a horse or a mule. You get the picture? Without understanding, which must be curbed with bits and a bridle, or it will not stay near you. Don't be stubborn like a mule. And any of us who grew up in the country, you know, a mule can be a mess at times. Even when you're jerking on those reins and you're jerking, they can still be stubborn. God is saying to His church, don't be stubborn like that. You know I've been tugging on. You know I've been convicting you about this matter. You know I brought this to you again and again. Stop being stubborn. Stop resisting the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. God our Father, who saved us, will also discipline us severely if we will not confess. Now I want you to let that sink in for a minute. We love to think about God as giving us good things, but He's a good Father. So He must also train us, amen, to live the way He wants us to live. And sometimes it takes severe discipline for stubborn children. But the Bible not only limits God's discipline to the body, to physical, you'll also suffer misery spiritually. Look at chapter 31. Psalm 31, verses 9 and 10. To me, O Lord, for I'm in distress. You see this spiritual agony, this spiritual pain that he's in? My eye is wasted from grief. My soul and my body also. So it's not just body. Body and soul suffer when you will not address sin. My life is spent with sorrow and my years in sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity. You will not address your sin. God is going to discipline you, body and soul. Dry spiritual life. We've talked about that, haven't we? Some of us are going through that. It could very well be that you've got sin in your life that you will not address. Why would God comfort and encourage you when you're cuddling sin? Unanswered prayers. It could very well be you're harboring and cuddling sin. Distress, grief, can't sleep. Taking all the medication won't solve it. Did you know that? Medication can't fix a sin problem. Some of us are expecting the doctor to fix what God has said. Repentance and confession with Him alone is going to fix. Some of the things that we're calling emotional problems are sin problems. Amen. And I hope you see what I'm saying. If you won't address it, it will lead to a physical problem. Anxiousness, no understanding of the Scriptures, no peace at home, no peace at work, no peace at school, no peace at church because you will not repent and confess your own sin. God would not allow His children to enjoy life while entertaining known sin in their life. Why would He do that? Why would a good father do that? I've told this story before, so for those of you who heard it, I want to share this with you. Those who haven't, when my sons were young, I told both of them. We spent months in the Proverbs, working through Proverbs and trying to help them understand some of the real fundamentals of life, living. I didn't tiptoe around. Proverbs doesn't tiptoe around life's issues. It puts it out. You have to address it. And so we spent months working through the book of Proverbs, and I told both of them, I want you to always tell me the truth. Even when you're in trouble, I want you to tell me the truth. I don't want to hear about it from somebody else, and I don't want to discover it myself while you're trying to hide it. Tell me the truth. Now, obviously, you know that anybody that's raised children, you know that children don't always do what you tell them, do they? And so, obviously, there were times I had to discipline them for not telling the truth. And virtually in every family, you're going to have one stubborn child or one that's more stubborn than the other. And Dan was stubborn, still is stubborn. But I had to teach him that your stubbornness brings pain. Your disobedience and stubbornness when I've told you not to do something and you continue to do it brings pain and misery. Now, you see, that's the biblical way to train a child, regardless of what the modern society says. God says you teach them. You if you withhold the rod, you don't love them. And so it is with our God, our Father. When He's told us what to do and what not to do and we disobey, then you bring pain upon yourself. Yes, because He's a good Father. That's all that I'm trying to say. And sometimes we're praying for the pain to be removed when the pain is brought on by your own sin. That's the reason your, quote, prayers are unanswered. The answer is right in front of you. Deal with your sin. All right. I guess I'm burdened because I really sense that God's heavy hand is on some of us here. And I'm wondering, why won't you see it? Why can't you see it? And I can answer why you can't, because you won't. And so my question to you is, why will you continue to live like this when God is saying to you, obey me, and your countenance will be lifted up? Obey me. Why won't you repent and confess today and be blessed? Well, then the last thing I want to look at here is the blessing and the joy of confession, all right? You see, I hope you've journeyed with me. I've talked about the blessing of having your sins forgiven. When you're saved, that was real joy, right? But as you journey through life, you got to deal with sin. Now, the question is, are you going to enjoy, you're going to have the joy of life as you journey, or the misery, according to how you handle your sin? The rest of this psalm talks about having joy in handling your sin properly, all right? We've already looked at the misery that comes from handling your sins improperly. Let's look at this together. Verse 5. I believe that the psalmist now begins to talk about what I call daily forgiveness and fellowship with the Lord. That's the way I word it. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you. Now remember, we're coming right out of verses that said, when I would not confess, when I kept my peace, when I was hiding and covering my sin, my body was sick, I was sick emotionally, my spiritual life was dry, I didn't understand the scriptures, I wasn't hearing from you. But then he says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Look at that. He could have done that a year ago. Why do we wait so long before we address sin? Why do we wait so long before we will repent? It's as if we think it's just going to go away. It's not. Sin is not going away. There's only one way to address it. You must address it in the way that it will be cured. Repent and confess. Repent and confess. For if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the only way. Don't let Satan whisper these little vignettes into your ear, thinking that, well, I can handle this one differently. Me and my spouse can just be mad for a few weeks. Guilty? I know the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your anger, but hey, I'm mad. And things just going to be all right in our house. We ain't going to talk to each other for a few weeks, but we're going to be all right. How many of us have seen the misery of that? Come on now. We reason our way into misery when we could know the joy, right? I acknowledge my sin. Whew. Look at that. Grace right there. I acknowledge mercy right there. I threw myself back on, just like when I was saved, I had to throw myself on the mercy of God. Now that I'm saved and I sin, I still have to throw myself on the mercy of Lord, forgive me. That's it. On the basis of Jesus Christ's blood and his righteousness, forgive me. Daily forgiveness and fellowship with the Lord. The blessing of having a clean heart and a clear conscience. Now you tell me, is there anything that brings more joy to the Christian's heart to know that your heart is clean? You're not hiding anything. You can look everybody in the eye and have a clear conscience and a clean heart. That's happiness. You ride with God and you ride with people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor. That's it. Fellowship. Clean heart, clear conscience, nothing to hide. Openness, honesty, glorious fellowship. That's the way to live, Christian. But then I notice another blessing that comes with confession is you get your prayers answered. And you get delivered in times of trouble. You look at verse 6. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. There it is. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Doesn't it thrill your heart when you know God answered your prayer? Haven't you seen prayers that were answered specifically for you to know God is answering your prayer? Isn't that wonderful? God answered my little old puny prayer. God, who is holding all of the planets, everything in the universe together. He's got all of the problems taken care of over there in Afghanistan and Brother Brad, Africa and Antarctica. He's got everything under control. And yet, he heard and answered my little old puny prayer. That ought to set your heart on fire. Happiness. That's the point. It's the joy of dealing with your sin. When you know that your deliverance and your help came as a direct result of your prayer. He delivered you from guilt. You ever had that? When you finally obey him and confess, and the guilt is finally lifted off your shoulders. Deliver you from distress. You don't need to take those pills anymore. You don't need sleeping aids. He delivered you from the distress that you were under. Delivered you from danger and bitterness. You know, you're holding grudges against people. Let it go. Let it go. Live at peace with people as much as it depends on who? You. If people don't want you to live at peace with them, let it go. You live at peace with people as much as it depends on you. Sometimes it reaches the point to where you have to do as Jesus said to the Pharisees, let them alone. Right? They're blind. They don't want to see. Jesus says, let them alone. They're blind. Guides of the blind. They'll all fall in the... You've been trying to keep them from falling in the ditch. You just walk in the peace that God gives you. He delivers you from those things. The Lord heard your cry for help. And I love this verse. Jesus is the hiding place. Isn't that wonderful? When you feel the attack, and all of us feel the sting of attacks, right? You get it at home. You get it at work. You know people are dogging you out. You know they, as soon as you kind of start turning your back, you know they're all over you. But Jesus is the hiding place. He'll hide you in the times of trouble. He'll hide you when everybody else has turned against you. Isn't that wonderful? But when you got that wonderful relationship with him, you're not hiding sin. You're open. You got confession. He'll protect you. Prayer is a true blessing. That's what I'm trying to say to you. But then verse 8, I also notice that the blessing and joy of confession brings wisdom from life, wisdom for life, and counsel from the Lord. Look at verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye on you. God's wisdom comes from the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. He will lead you and guide you through His Word and by His Spirit. He will take His Word and the Spirit will open it up. It'll open your understanding. You've been reading this for weeks, for months, but now that you've got this clean heart and your heart is open to God, He floods you with understanding. All of a sudden that passage becomes alive now. I see things here I didn't see before. You ever had that? And it makes so much. Lord, and then all you can do is thank Him. Lord, I've been waiting on this answer. It's been there all along, but I couldn't see it. It's like those disciples on the road to Emmaus with Jesus. They're walking with Him all along, but the Bible says somewhere along the way, He opened their understanding, opened their eyes, and then they could see. He was there all along. Isn't that the way it is? You can be reading it. And then when He opens it up, it's like, I never saw that. You ever had that? That's a blessing from God. And then lastly there I see that one of the blessings of confession is the joy of the Lord and rejoicing. That's what I've been working my way to. So that's where we'll bring our thoughts to a conclusion. It all leads to joy. Regardless of what's going on in your life, at all, when you are willing to repent and address your sin and confess, God will lead you into joy. The middle of verse 10, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. And then this is the way he concludes and exhorts us. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. He's worked his way through this journey of life, and he says, if you will obey God this way, you got reason now to be glad and rejoice. You've got reason. You have worked your way through life, and now you understand, I've got good reason for happiness. I've got good reason to have joy today. This is a good day. This is a good day to praise, to honor, to pray to God, to sing songs of worship. This is a good day. Since we are such a blessed people, our sins are forgiven. Now you think with me. Our sins are atoned for. Our sins are not held against us. We have daily forgiveness and fellowship with the Lord. God answers our prayers and delivers us in trouble. We get wisdom and counsel from above. Then we've got every reason to be glad in the Lord and rejoice. It's all right there. The next time you get discouraged, go read Psalm 30. He who has been forgiven much, what did Jesus say? Loves much. And I also believe this. He who has been forgiven much has much joy. If you'll only remember these things, God will bring joy to your life. Would you be free from the power and penalty of sin? Would you be free from the bitterness and guilt and misery and destruction of sin? Do you want to feel and experience the power of the Holy Spirit liberating you from the slavery of sin? Do you want to know the comfort of the Holy Spirit in your soul? Do you long for the sweet communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ? Then you must address your sin. Stop attempting to hide sin. Don't cover it up. Don't ignore it. Don't minimize it. Don't trivialize your sin. That only leads to more misery and more pain. But he who confesses and forsakes his sin will receive mercy. That's what Proverbs writer said. Confession is the only way to a clean heart. Confession is the only way to a clear conscience. Confession is the only way to sweet fellowship and communion with Christ and with other believers. It's the only way to peace and true happiness in this life. And it is the only way to true happiness in the glorious life to come. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Stop resisting the Holy Spirit and yield to the will of God for your life. You'll be truly blessed, and you will know the happiness that comes from true confession. Our Father, I've attempted to do your will. I've attempted to say all that you gave me. And I'd be the first to confess, Lord, I need grace and mercy myself. I need you. And so, Lord, would you hear our humble cry today? And help us to walk in the truth of this psalm. Would you make known to us clearly sins that we have attempted to hide or cover up or minimize or trivialize or even ignore, sins that we've tried to justify? Would you reveal here today sin that's hindering us from running this race with joy? Sin that's keeping us back from being faithful spouses or faithful parents or faithful children, faithful workers, faithful neighbors, faithful students in school, faithful servants here at church, faithful ministers. Would you reveal sin that's holding us back, that we might be set free to do your will, your way, in Jesus' name, amen.